This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch our TV show on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. As if you needed more reasons to be suspicious and contemptuous of corporate America, a new report might make your blood boil. The U.S. PIRG Education Fund, Citizens for Tax Justice, and the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy together have released a scathing publication, finding that, quote, more than 73% of Fortune 500 companies maintain subsidiaries in offshore tax havens, and, quote, collectively, multinationals reported booking $2.5 trillion offshore, which just 30 companies accounting for 66% of this total. While those of us with salaried jobs have our taxes garnished in our paychecks, most corporations and their wealthy owners and executives find ways to avoid funding our common needs. Think Trump. But Apple, Nike, and Goldman Sachs were among the worst abusers of our tax code, according to the report, hiding hundreds of billions of dollars offshore. My guest is Michelle Surka. She is an advocate with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, or U.S. PIRG. Welcome to the program, Michelle.
Thank you very much, Sonali. Glad to be here.
So, first of all, I suppose we should not at all be surprised that this is happening. We've known that corporations hide their money offshore for many, many years. Is it that we're finding that they're doing it more now? Is the trend sort of worsening? Are they hiding more money? Are more corporations getting in on the game?
Yeah, that's exactly right. This is actually about the third year that we've released this report, and each year the numbers just get larger and larger. Now we're at the point where it's $2.5 trillion held in offshore subsidiaries. Huge portions of that money in notorious tax havens like the Bahamas, like Bermuda, like the Cayman Islands, and now like the Netherlands. And the fact of the matter is that this abuse of tax havens isn't getting better. It's just getting far, far worse each year.
So this is, of course, all legal, right? They're not breaking laws. Congress has at various points, after things like the release of the Panama Papers, tried to take more action. The Obama administration has attempted to do something. But of course, while it is all legal, there is no reason for corporations to do anything other than hide their money offshore, right? Why wouldn't they? In fact, it's surprising that not all Fortune 500 companies are doing this because it saves them lots and lots of money.
Right, exactly. I think that that is an important point to keep in mind. It's easy to point fingers at corporations or at individuals who are taking advantage of our tax code, but the fact is that these things are written into the tax code and they're entirely legal. So it's not really worth it for us to waste our breath pointing at one corporation or another, when really what we should be doing is looking for solutions to make it, to sort of lower these incentives to keep money in tax havens and ensure that corporations are paying their fair share rather than, you know, following the letter of the law, but ultimately, you know, taking advantage of American citizens and the American system. Another important point is that ultimately the reason why so many of these corporations can so prolifically book their profits to tax havens where they have no legitimate business presence is that they have the money to hire, hundreds, armies of lawyers and armies of accountants to game the system and make sure that they are, you know, able to book these things.
So it's not, of course, there's a reason why the tax code is so complex. It's because of the revolving door between corporate sector and government, right? I mean, all these taxes have been written by lawyers that have worked for corporations to benefit them. And there are very complex tax codes that enable these things to happen. And so all it would take is simple action by Congress. But of course, these same corporations have lots of money to protect themselves and to lobby Congress and to buy influence. Do you feel that enough of the public knows about these issues? Because it seems like the only thing that would really push Congress would be public outrage. I mean, we've had, you know, the New York Times revelations of Donald Trump not having paid taxes for something like 18 years, and it's being cast by himself and others as somehow this great achievement that he managed to do this. You know, we wouldn't consider that same thing for individuals. Do we need more public outrage?
Yeah, well, I would say that it's not necessarily that we need more public outrage. What we need is more public understanding of how this hurts everyday citizens. Like I said before, it's not just one corporation. It's not just one individual. It's a systemic problem in our tax code. And in order to really get enough sort of public outcry for change and to actually have, you know, the public interest win over in this case against these powerful special interests is to show that really corporate tax avoidance hurts us in a number of ways. The first being that every dollar that these corporations are avoiding paying in their taxes means higher taxes for individuals. It means cuts to public programs. It means more national debt for us. Secondarily, small businesses here in the U.S., like I said, don't have the resources to be able to hire armies of lawyers and accountants to book their profits to offshore tax havens and have these complicated tax systems that allow them to get away with paying, you know, a 5% tax rate. And that means that they're competing on totally unfair ground. These small businesses, you know, rather than competing based on their innovation and their services, are competing based on who can play the offshore shell game best. And that's, you know, an unfair system for our small businesses here at home. And then finally, this sort of corporate tax avoidance also makes an unstable marketplace. You've probably noticed that internationally, the EU and other countries around the world are starting to crack down on this kind of tax haven abuse. And you see these huge, you know, back taxes being levied against companies like Apple. Right now, investors in those companies don't know what the tax strategies are for these corporations, and that means that investors and shareholders are at risk, and that's bad news for them, too. Corporations keep winning, shareholders keep losing, ordinary taxpayers keep losing. So it's not about outrage, it's about really seeing how this impacts us every single day.
Right.
Rather than just when a big story about Donald Trump happens to blow up in the news.
Right. Because, of course, you know, we rely on taxes to fund the common good. I mean, setting aside criticism of how much of our tax goes to funding the military, aside from the military, the most constructive things, of course, our tax dollars fund, you know, everything, all our public infrastructure and public schools and Medicare and you know, so many things. I mean, and of course, Medicare, I should take that out of the system because we do pay for that directly, but many other things. so let us actually talk briefly about some of these individual corporations, just to illustrate what it is that companies do rather than the single amount, because you're right. I mean, basically, why wouldn't anybody do this if it's legal? You mentioned Apple, and Apple had gotten in trouble with Ireland, which is a offshore tax haven. How much money were you talking about Apple basically taking out of the U.S. Treasury and hiding offshore?
Right. So I believe at this point, Apple has over $2 billion offshore, a lot of that in tax havens. And the EU just found that they actually owe Ireland $14.5 billion in back taxes based on some pretty unfair tax structures they'd set up in that country to avoid paying the full already fairly low tax rate in Ireland. So it's a huge number, and it's bigger this year than it was last year.
Because of these offshore tax havens, do companies like Apple, Nike, Goldman Sachs, et cetera, end up paying, you know, a lower tax rate than, say, individuals like us?
Oh, yes. Wow. Right now, the average tax rate that these corporations are paying on their offshore profits is about 6.8%. Which is shocking considering that the corporate tax rate is 35%.
I mean, and you know, individuals pay something like 20 to 25%, depending upon where you fall in the tax bracket. So a lot of these companies that earn so much money, whose executives earn so much money, they end up paying a ridiculously tiny tax rate.
Exactly.
It's quite unbelievable, particularly given that we see an upward redistribution of wealth happening in the long term. And if so much of that wealth is not being taxed fairly, not going into the U.S. system, we're basically seeing a draining of funds from the country altogether, right?
Right. The bottom line is that these corporations are, you know, they're operating here in the U.S. They are using our infrastructure. They're using our educated workforce. They're using our broad consumer markets, and they're getting their profits right here, you know, on U.S. soil. And the bottom line is that no matter what you feel about taxes, if you're using the, you know, resources of this country, then you should be paying your fair share, not putting that money into a place like the Cayman Islands, where ultimately what you only have there is a P.O. box. So it's a pretty clear cut matter of fairness.
Walmart is one of the big perpetrators here. Your report said it reported operating zero tax haven subsidiaries in 2015 and for the past decade to the SEC. But really, the number is much higher than zero.
Right. So this is sort of another problem when it comes to the way that our tax system works. The reporting requirements for reporting offshore subsidiaries are so lax and are so vague, and are so easily defined by just what the corporation thinks that they want to report. These corporations can get away with reporting basically whatever they want, whatever will make them look the best. That's how you get examples of a company like Google saying one year that they have X number of tax havens, the next year saying they have three, but in reality still operating, way more than that.
So Walmart has as many as 75 tax haven subsidiaries, but it's only reporting that it has zero. That's pretty incredible.
Right.
And again, this is all legal, because if it weren't, then, we could sue corporations for doing this, but it is all legal. So what is in the works right now? Are there... we can't just rely on corporations being good citizens. We know they aren't. They aren't, they're not human beings, no matter what legally is said of corporations. Their bottom line is to maximize their profits, and they'll do everything and anything they can to do that. So what is in the works, legislatively speaking, that can start to end all of this?
Well, so going off of the previous comments about how reporting requirements are so lax, there are some steps being taken now to sort of strengthen the requirements that corporations will have to report to the SEC when it comes to their tax haven subsidiaries and subsidiaries in general. There's legislation, Stop Tax Haven Abuse Act, right now in the House and the Senate, which would help end deferral and allow corporations to, prevent corporations from being able to indefinitely not pay taxes on money that they're holding offshore. So that just cuts out the incentive to even use a tax haven, essentially. And then I think that one particularly exciting thing is that states actually have the power to take action on this as well, of their own right, rather than having to wait for Congress to sort of turn the wheels and start making change there. There's a thing called the Water's Edge loophole, which allows states to define their sort of state corporate tax based on where they know corporations are keeping money in offshore tax havens. So it would require that they pay state tax even on the money that they're keeping in the Cayman Islands.
Wow. So state by state.
Montana has already passed.
Right. So state by state, some states can actually start to do that, which is pretty interesting. What about, what about cracking down on the tax havens themselves? Are there any, does the U.S. have jurisdiction to kind of, take the Bahamas or Ireland to task for offering these havens to U.S. corporations? Or is there some sort of international law that can be brought down to bear?
Right. It's certainly an international problem. And luckily, there are a lot of countries across the world that are a little bit more ahead of us when it comes to this kind of thing. Like we've talked about, the EU is already taking steps. We have, countries that are losing tons of money to this kind of abuse, taking steps. The G20 countries are with us on this, and they are pushing to crack down on these tax havens. But ultimately, you can't force a country like the Cayman Islands to change their laws. What you need to do is get the corporations to not be incentivized to go and abuse those tax havens. So I think that's the angle that we're working on, rather than trying to crack down on countries that in a lot of ways are also losing in this system, honestly.
Well, finally, where can people look at the report themselves and see how 73% of Fortune 500 companies are hiding their money offshore?
You should go to our website, usperg.org. It's the first report right there on the page, and you should check it out. There are Fortune 500 companies in states across the country, and you should find out if one that is headquartered in your state is abusing this system, and you should hold them accountable to that.
Well, Michelle, I want to thank you so much for spending this time with us, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Sonali.
And we'll post a link to that report directly from our website today. My guest is Michelle Circa. She's an advocate with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, or USPIRG. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.